And we are live. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of AI Clubhouse. My name is Ginger Bell. I have Scott Chang, Steve Richman. Hello, boys.
Hello.
How are you today? Hat, great. No hat.
I know. But he has all the hair. Me, it's like, I'm a mess.
Well, I hate putting the gunk in there to keep it out of my face. But today I decided, all right, I'll gunk it up and I won't wear a hat.
I love it.
Forget about us. It's all about Chelsea. Let's cut to the main event. My hair, Scott's hair, that ain't what it is. It's all Chelsea.
Chelsea has hair. Well, let's do that. So let's introduce our guest today, who I'm excited to have join us, Miss Chelsea Gardner. Chelsea is a social media expert, and she is also the co-author of our book, The AI Prompt Handbook. So welcome, Chelsea.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here with you guys. I can't believe this is actually our first episode.
I know. Yeah. Well, we meant to have you on before under our mortgage influencers, and I think you did. You always had a live social media happy hour that you did at this time.
Yep.
And so you were never able to do that. So we're glad that you're able to make time in your schedule for us. And I know you post a ton in our group, so I wanted to make sure that people knew who you were and some of the expertise that you bring. So talk to us about, you know, as far as social media, because, I mean, that's huge, right? Obviously, we get into conversations about AI here, but, you know, what are you finding the best thing that originators and realtors can do with ChatGPT, because I know you do a lot with that, in leveraging it through their social media?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to social media, and like first and foremost in social media, the biggest thing for me that I'm finding with a lot of my mortgage friends is they, you know, you need to identify who you are targeting and who you're trying to speak to first and foremost when it comes to social media, right? Because you want to be able to, you know, speak to one person on the other side of the phone, on the other side of the monitor, and then leveraging ChatGPT and being able to tell ChatGPT who your target audience is for social media, and then being able to utilize it to create captions and, you know, email marketing and campaigns and all of that for social media. But, you know, for me, I leverage it a lot when it comes to like my client's social media content. So, you know, asking it to create captions and speaking in client brand voices and, you know, adjusting those prompts to fit into the social media world for me. But I think first and foremost, you have to know who you're speaking to when it, especially on social media.
So how can they do that? How can they know who they're speaking to? Because especially we have a lot of loan officers on this. Really, they have two different audiences, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny because every time I ask, like, okay, tell me who your audience is, they're like, anyone who needs a loan. Right? Anyone who can, you know, is looking to buy a house, needs to get a home loan, like, that's who I'm targeting. And yes, but that's not true when you are trying to market on social media, because, you know, you want to be able to, you know, people are always like, well, how do I get people to like engage with my content or stop the scroll? Because that's the most important thing, reading my stuff and understanding it. And, you know, we can all agree, like, mortgages aren't always the sexiest thing to talk about. It's not what people go to Instagram for to read about.
Yes, they are, baby.
Yes.
I don't know who you guys are hanging out with.
Right? Like, man, I need to find those people. But, you know, typically it's not the sexiest thing. So, you know, you are targeting a very small audience already as it is. And so being able to determine, like you said, they're typically targeting two different people, their referral partners and like their potential clients. And so when you are creating content and you want to draw people into your social media, you got to pick one, at least for a little while, right? Because if you're like, I really am trying to go after my real estate agents, I really want to grow my Instagram with real estate agents, you kind of got to pick one in order to get the verbiage correct, right? You got to be able to tell ChatGPT and the world, right? When someone is on the other end, in order for them to stop their scroll, they need to be like, that's me. Yep, I am struggling with that, right? Like, are you a millennial first-time home buyer who has no idea how to even get pre-approved, right? I need to be able to, like, as I'm scrolling my phone, be like, that's me. Yep, I'm a millennial home buyer and I have no idea what to do.
Right.
That's how you target someone. But if you're just like, hey, you know, let's get you pre-approved today. Well, who? Get who pre-approved? And that doesn't, like, yeah, I need to get pre-approved, but I'm just going to keep scrolling because that's not who I am, right? Like, I don't see myself as the person who needs to get pre-approved, but I'm a millennial trying to buy a home and have no idea what to do, right? Right. That speaks to me. So right. I think that's where, like, you got to pick a lane.
Well, and you talk about that, and I know you did a post not too long ago about the ATM method. And so beginning with that, why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So the ATM method is from our book, the AI Prompt Handbook. So if you don't have it, go get it. But, you know, that is really where you can implement your like stuff into ChatGPT, right? So the ATM method is really set up and geared to help you lay out, okay, who am I targeting? Who am I acting like? And then how can I get ChatGPT to target that demographic by telling it how I want you to act and what I want you to do by inputting that information into ChatGPT? Because let's be honest, like we want to use, like we want to create our own content, write our own captions, but we're busy, right? We're not content creators. Well, some of us aren't. If we're in the mortgage space, we are not content creators. It's not our full-time job. And so we need to be leveraging ChatGPT and that method by inputting or acting like, okay, please act like a millennial first-time home buyer, right? And so that method will help lay out that foundation when you're using ChatGPT.
Right. So let's walk through that, because the ATM begins with that method, and it's an acronym to help you kind of remember when you're setting up your prompts. And your prompt is what you put into ChatGPT when you're asking it to create something. And so I think that's the biggest challenge. I was doing a call with someone the other day and we were setting up their GPT. And he said, I just get garbage. He goes, I put a prompt in and I just get garbage back. It's not really giving me what I want. And that's because you're not being specific about asking it. And so the key to good prompting is good asking. And so beginning with that, act as. So if you're creating, and let's just use an example, say your audience is millennial first-time homebuyers. Yep. So you want to act as a millennial first-time homebuyer, or act as a social media marketer for, and then your audience being that. So walk us through that.
Yeah. So, you know, when you are inputting this information, so kind of like what you said, and I guess I probably should start with what ATM even stands for. That's my bad. So ATM is act, tell, and message. So when you are inputting into ChatGPT, basically, okay, let's take our, let's look at act first, and we need to define that and make sure that we tell the action we want ChatGPT to take. We need to be clear and concise. So again, kind of like what you were saying with, you know, first-time homebuyer, act as a mortgage professional targeting a first-time homebuyer. We need to make sure that we are telling it exactly what we want from it. We need to make sure that we are being very specific in our requirements, right, or our questions to it. Make sure that we are asking it to really tailor that response for our audience. And then we need to also focus on the message that we are trying to come up with, or what outcome, I guess I should say, might would be a little bit better, but ATM sounds better. So what outcome are you trying to get? So this could also like include like your tone or your structure, the goal, all of those things are kind of fall into the message of, you know, what you're trying to get out of ChatGPT. So when you are, like you said, someone was, you know, you're struggling and you're not getting what you want out of ChatGPT, it does take work. It takes some like back and forth to figure out what questions you got to ask it and tell it, and, you know, treat it like it's a human virtual assistant. And you got to kind of be very specific with it. And so if you're not getting what you want out of it, then go and relook at how you're prompting it and relook at what you're asking of it. And does it make sense? So I have a lot of people that are like, they'll put a prompt in and then they're like, oh, well, Chelsea, I copy it. I end up rewriting it anyways, because it's not what I want it to say, or it doesn't sound like me, or it doesn't whatever. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, would you, if you hired a virtual assistant and you were paying them, you know, $25 an hour, and they spit back something that you absolutely hate, would you just take it and just do it yourself and be like, well, or would you actually teach them and tell them like, hey, this is what, how I would like it worded, or this is what I would like changed, or my brand voice sounds a little bit different, and this is what I would say, right? I don't use the word in the digital landscape. That's not in my lingo. So let's not use that. You got to tell it. It doesn't know. It's going to use whatever it feels is necessary, or like, oh, wow, that's really professional. I don't speak that way, right? So you're going to talk to ChatGPT exactly like you would a virtual assistant or a hire or somebody.
I'm going to disagree with just a little bit.
Yeah?
I think you're right, but I'm going to push back. I think you talk to GPT exactly how you wish you were talking to your assistant. I think people get, because they think, oh my gosh, it's responding to me. I don't want to say something and then it's going to be like, my screen's going to go blank or whatever, right? So it's like, if you could be a very direct person to your assistant to say what you want. But I actually think we get emotional talking to the ChatGPT, and we don't want to like be
interesting,
authoritative and say, yeah, no, this is what I want. Oh,
and I speak that way to mine. So I'm like, I don't think you're understanding.
And when people are trying it for the first time, they start saying, oh my God, it gave me this. It's doing something for me. Now I can't be more pushy. I have to back up because it thinks it's a real person, and it's not. And the other thing is, and I was doing something actually earlier today on ChatGPT.
Yay.
And I got my result. And it's really easy, folks, to go back and say, based on what you just gave me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So it has that memory. You're not starting on something new each and every time.
Exactly.
So as you were saying, Chelsea, it's like a real assistant or a real person you're working with, that they have that memory so you can keep building off of it. If you're not getting what you want, okay, let's try it this way, but it will remember that.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because once I have a chat, like once you have a chat built and it's like the perfect like layout of how you like your captions and how you like it to speak, you can keep going back into that same chat instead of having to rebuild another one and be like, okay, now I want you to do the exact same like layout and like tone, but on USDA loans instead of VA loans. Or so now that you have it like laid out, or using custom instructions or creating GPTs.
Yeah, like, GPTs are such a great way to do that, where you honestly, and you know, we've had several conversations on this now, you can set up those GPTs. So if you have your first time home buyers, if you have your investors, if you have your renovation loans, if you have your reverse mortgage loans, you can set up that custom GPT and change that to where you have those custom prompts already built in there. And then you can use those and build on those. But let's go back, because what I want to walk people through this whole process as far as the ATM. So the first thing is you're going to act as a loan officer.
Yep.
And your audience is first-time home buyers. So you're going to act as a loan officer, and you are going to create content for first-time home buyers. So that goes into part of the telling and being very specific. You can even get into the details of write it at a fifth grade level, write it at a this level. Scott, when Scott first started playing around years ago, it was like a year ago. And he did a presentation. I don't know if you remember this, Scott, but you had in the presentation three different ways for ChatGPT respond. And the first one was fifth grade level. The second one was a PhD level. And then the third was to act like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
And And honestly, it was amazing how the same instructions of, you know, create a social media post for first-time homebuyers, walking them through the loan process. And so do it at this level, do it at this level, do it. I mean, and the Snoop Dogg, hysterical.
I don't think I'll try this.
You have to try it.
There's no swear words, but it's Snoop Dogg for sure. It's hilarious.
It is. It's so funny. So, I mean, you have to think about, you know, and going back to your original statement of audience, who is your audience? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're talking to a group of investors, you're going to have a completely different conversation than if you're talking to someone who's never owned a home. And so what I always like to say, think about as if you're doing a presentation. You know, if you go into an audience, you know, and Steve, you do hundreds of presentations a year. Who's your audience? What do they want to know? What are their questions? So put a little bit of thought into it, because that can help you. So I'm going to let you continue on. So we're going to act as a loan officer.
Yep.
We're creating content for a first-time homebuyer. And then we want them to do what?
Yep. So then you want to make sure that you're being specific. So create a social media post for a first-time homebuyer from the stance of a mortgage professional, right? You can even be as specific. So in the like message part of ATM, talk about, I want it to be very brief. I want it to be short. And like you said, I
add 100 words, 500 words, exactly. Whatever.
I want it bullet pointed, you know, because I want it just brief and bullet pointed. Be very specific in what you're asking of it to do, because that's how you're going to get those responses. So I'm a mortgage professional. And if you already have your custom instructions set up, some of this you don't even have to tell it, right? But I'm a mortgage professional targeting first-time home buyers who need to understand the pre-approval process. Create a social media caption that is bullet pointed in a fifth grade reading level for a first-time home buyer on the pre-approval process, right?
And I want it to be 100 words.
And I want it to be 100 words or less.
Yep. And now you're being specific. So the same as if you're saying you're talking to your VA say, go make a social media post for first-time home buyers. Like, on what?
Right. Exactly. Sure. Okay.
You can add a couple of layers to that. Like if you tell it what platform you're posting on, it understands the guidelines for that platform.
Yes. Yes.
And it'll also understand best practices.
It will.
And what I started doing also is telling it what my intent was. So what do I want to evoke out of this? Do I want them to leave a comment? Do I want them to engage? Do I want them to like it or whatever?
Right.
And kind of give it, so yeah, it's tell it what to do and then tell it, yeah, kind of walk it through all of those things. And that's absolutely brilliant. But it's funny because you could give it the exact same prompt and it'll give you a different result every single time.
Yep.
Right. So it's like you said, pushing back. How often do you regenerate? Chelsea, do you find you rewrite it or do you just ask it to regenerate if you don't like it the first time?
So I do a combination of both. So sometimes for me, because I am a copywriter naturally.
Yep.
So sometimes for me, it's just faster and easier for me to just rewrite it in words that I want to. But I also will work on prompting it for my client so it understands, so I don't have to do that. Right. There, it's just kind of is a give and take. I naturally am a content writer. So for me, it's like, oh, okay, great. This is a great starting point, and I just go and write it. But for someone who is not there or is not a copywriter naturally, then go in and prompt it and keep tweaking it.
So that's an important part. How close are these posts usually? Do they get you 90% of the way and you have to do the customization? Where do you find
that?
Setting expectations for somebody using these tools? It's
not
going to do all your work for you.
It's not. Well, it can, but I would say like the initial response, right? So you do your caption, you do your prompting, or you do your prompting for your caption. I would say a good like 75 to 80% is probably pretty pretty decent. You might just need to work on changing some of the lingo. Again, I'm not an in the digital landscape type gal. I don't like that lingo in the captions.
Right.
So there's certain things that, like, maybe I just need to remove that, or I just need to just change that one word. So I would say, I mean, Ginger, do you see that with your guys' stuff when you're doing like prompting for podcasts and all of that? Like, probably like 75-80% is, to me, like, at least for me, like, just because I'm very picky with some lingo.
Yeah, I mean, we honestly, for all of our clients, we have custom GPT set up for every single one of our clients. Yeah, and we have their voice guides in there. I mean, we are very customized. So, you know, we don't have to do a lot of adjustment. And I've spent months, honestly, going through and testing a lot of it. But if I'm just starting out, yeah, I mean, you have to regenerate and regenerate. I have a client I'm working with right now. We're writing a book on reverse mortgages, and we're using ChatGPT for a lot of it. And we had the outline. And then that, you know, we did the chapters, we started working on it, and he was working on part of it. And in our weekly call, he said, "I'm not getting a great response from ChatGPT." And I said, "You have to really go back in and redefine." And I showed him, because we had a couple of chapters where it just, you know, it spit out just tiny little bit. And so you have to section it out. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people get frustrated with is, ChatGPT is an amazing assistant. I mean, what it can get you to is really good, but you do have to adapt. One thing I want to hop back to real quick, because Scott, you made that the action item, the outcome as far as what you want from the chat. The other thing that we do is we actually have it include the call to action. So what is that call to action that we want? Do we want them to set up an appointment? Do we want them to make a comment, as Scott said? You know, do we want them to share a link? And so that's important too, to be able to have chat know what's the outcome. You know, what do you want out of this? At the end of the day, you know, what's that action? Is it just, you know, just for awareness? Is it just for, you know, a brief education? Because it will tell you what you tell it. The other thing I'll tell you is sometimes chat gets lazy. And so you have to remind it. I just did this. I was working on we have a big event in Orlando we're promoting for a client. And so I was working on some content for that. And it got so lazy. It wasn't even pulling anything from the event. And I said, okay, go back to the original prompt and pull from the link that I gave you, because it acted like nothing was in there. And so you have to kind of remind it of that. And, you know, do it in a way that it's like, you don't have to re-put it back in there, but you have to remind it, hey, go back to this or change that. And so it's almost kind of like a dance when you get into it, where it's a little bit back and forth of having that conversation to be able to get it through. And it does remember, and we're seeing it improve. Scott, I know you've said you've seen it improving.
Well, I also, this is another thing, is if you're doing things in a single thread, like if you're doing it for, let's, you said your example was, you know, first time home buyer, and then you do one for USDA, there's a thing called a context window, which is how far it can look back. So if your threads get too long, it can get confused because there's just too many branches there. And that's why if you're going to be doing something repetitively, GPTs are better, because you can just have it focus hyper vigilant on this one task and doing it perfectly. But if you find that you're doing if you find that it starts to stray, and like you said, Ginger, it's possible that chat thread is just so long that link was so far back that it's not referencing, the context window only goes back.
It's on its journey and it forgot where it came from. So it's not this. Oh, we've been talking about this. We were talking about that. So we should talk about this again. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Stopped at the wah-wah. I have a
question. Chelsea, here's my question. Because you started off this conversation with social media, and then we took it down the AI path. And I get that they go like this. And you said, oh, make a post. But what I keep hearing and seeing about social media is video rules. You got to get more videos out there. So tell me how I should be using creating my social media through the AI by being a video.
Yeah, you mean like creating yourself as a video?
No, I think that's like, okay.
That's a different conversation.
No, but like, we're talking about prompts and stuff. So talk about a little bit, hey, prompts of create, is it creating the script? Is it, tell me a little bit about how you're combining those two things.
Yeah, so video content is a great way, a great form to be seen, whether it be on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, you know, anything like that, great way. And so to create video content, a lot of people are like, I just don't even know what to talk about, right? And so using ChatGPT for, first of all, the ideas, ask it for ideas on what to talk about, right? If your target audience is first-time home buyers, ask it to give you 20 ideas for video topics for first-time home buyers. And then take those 20 topics, choose your top one, choose your top five, and then ask it to create scripts for you that are under, like if you're doing, for example, if you're doing a social media Instagram reel, then you want it to be under, typically under 30 seconds. You have up to 90 seconds, but you usually want them pretty short. So then you can ask it to create you a script under 30 seconds. If you're doing long form YouTube content, ask it to create you a 5-minute long video and then ask it to create a little snippet for the video that you can use for Instagram to promote it to go to YouTube, right? So there's a ton of ways that you can use ChatGPT for video content and helping with content ideas and the scripting.
I've got a script hack. So I don't know how many times you've tried to ask it to create a video script for this long, and then it's 30 seconds when you actually read it. So here's what I did. Go to your YouTube and get a transcript from one of your videos and look at the timestamp for how many words you speak in 1 minute. And then you instruct ChatGPT, you say 1 minute equals 250 words. So then when you ask it to write a script that's 3 minutes long, it's going to be 750 word script, and it will be 3 minutes when you read it.
Yeah. I like that hack. Because I mean, if you're someone who reads extremely fast, right?
You might have 500 words a minute. Exactly.
You might need like your long form blog content over here for YouTube video is going to be a 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, and using that idea, because we have a prompt, I have a weekly prompt. Maybe we can do that in April and I'll show how that works to do the content idea. So you have a list of 20 different topic ideas and I have a prompt set up that asks it to create the video script. And then in the prompt, I have it set up the prompt that the next response back from ChatGPT is, I'll create the video script, give me the topic and the length. And so on your hack, then, and you can set ChatGPT prompts up to where, you know, all you have to do when it comes back, say, great, I will do this, give me the topic and give me the length. And when you set that prompt up, that's automatic. And we have those to where it's just, you just hit push and it's like, okay, give me the topic. And I actually have it set up now in the prompts that it will come back with topic and length. And all I have to do is copy that, put it in the next prompt, and then put in the topic and the length. And so you train it to know exactly what to do. And so, you know, it's kind of like riding a bike. You first start off with the training wheels and then you get a little more advanced and things like that. But I love that hack. We should post that. You know what, Scott? That's a great idea. I'll pull some transcripts from some videos, and we can add that as far as a guide because I think that's an important hack.
Yeah,
yep, really riding a bike, using training wheels, but Chelsea's on a Harley. We know where she is. That's why it's awesome. I've heard you.
Absolutely. And you know what, Chelsea? I'm going to have you. We're already 30 minutes goes by so fast. It's like we could have a conversation all day about this. But a couple of things. First of all, thank you so much.
Thank you. And we
want to have you back in April. So find a Wednesday in April. We'll have you back because this is definitely a conversation that's important to continue. But before you leave, I want you to share a little bit about what you do and where people can find you and how you can help.
Yeah. So I'm the owner of C. Gardner Marketing. You can find me on any social media platform at the Chelsea Gardner. I also have a podcast called the Simplified Social Marketing Podcast that you can go find as well on any platform. And yeah, I'm a done for you social media marketer. So I handle like all of your social media. So I'm taking it off your plate.
Which is amazing because Chelsea and I worked together for a while and she does a lot of our social media content as well. So we do the videos and the podcasts. Yep. She does the social media. So we're like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yes. I like that.
I love it. Well, Chelsea, thank you so much. So a couple of housekeeping things. First of all, for those of you who are watching us on Facebook, thank you. We tried doing a different streaming platform with StreamYard. I said I'd try it for a month. We tried it. We're going to go back to Zoom. So I'm just going to tell you that. I'm going to set up the regular log. If you have been watching us on Zoom and joining us on Zoom, I'm going to set that up. I'll send that out. That way you can register and you will get that regular link every single week. So we are going to go back to that. That'll start next week. And we want to know, what do you guys want to know? Because obviously our conversation is open to anything about AI. Social media plays an important part of that. But what are your questions? You know, let us know in the Facebook group. And Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for all your posts. I know you post so much on our AI Clubhouse Facebook group. And I appreciate that. I truly do.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, absolutely. Charlie. Okay, guys, we will see you next week. Take care. Okay, bye.